Welcome to this deep dive. We're going to be looking at some pretty interesting research on muscle loss, especially how it impacts weight loss treatments and our health overall. Gave me some really interesting articles and studies. Looks like we've got a lot to cover, like the effects of those new weight loss drugs, the metabolic stuff that muscle does. Most people don't realize how important it is, and even sarcopenic obesity.
Yes. And what really struck me going through all this material was the shift in focus. Like it's not just about measuring muscle mass anymore. Now it's about the quality and the function.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And this has huge implications for how we approach weight loss, aging, even managing chronic diseases.
Okay, well, let's jump right in. Let's talk about medically induced weight loss. One of the articles from Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology, it highlighted a potential concern with these GLP-1 agonists. These drugs are amazing for weight loss, but they seem to cause a lot of muscle loss too, even more so than like traditional calorie restriction.
The study shows that up to 39% of the total weight loss with GLP-1 agonists can be from fat-free mass,
Wow.
which includes muscle.
Okay.
And this is a lot higher than what we see with calorie restriction, usually about 10 to 30% muscle loss.
Okay.
It's important to remember, though, that this doesn't mean the drug is like attacking your muscles.
Right. So what is it then? What explains all this muscle loss?
The main theory is that it's the speed. The sheer speed and the amount of weight loss with these meds makes it hard for the body to keep up.
Okay.
It can't preserve the muscle mass at the same rate. And this makes us worry about what happens long term, especially since we don't have much data on people's musculoskeletal health after they stop taking GLP-1 agonists.
That's a good point. So, like, if someone loses a ton of muscle mass really fast, are they more likely to gain back the weight as fat? And wouldn't that lead to like a worse body composition in the long run?
It could. It seems like this rapid weight loss, good in the short term, but we might need to balance it out with strategies that protect the muscles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This research shows that we need to think holistically about weight loss,
Yeah.
not just the number on the scale, but what that weight loss is actually made up of.
Exactly.
We have to preserve muscle mass as we lose fat, especially with meds that speed up muscle breakdown.
This all leads to the importance of understanding what muscle does in the body. It's not just about how we look or athletic performance. A lot of people, I think, underestimate how important muscle is for our overall health.
Well, one of the articles really highlighted the structural part that we often overlook.
Okay.
Muscle is responsible for movement, for balance, posture, strength.
Right.
It lets us do everyday things. But the contractions, the muscle contractions, those actually generate forces that help keep our bones dense and our joints healthy.
Oh, wow.
And this is really important for preventing osteoporosis and staying mobile as we get older.
Interesting. And then there's the whole metabolic powerhouse thing with muscle. People are always surprised by that one.
Muscle is vital for regulating blood sugar. The more muscle you have, the better your insulin sensitivity, which is key to reduce type 2 diabetes risk. And then muscle also acts like a reservoir for amino acids,
Oh, okay.
and those are essential for healing
Okay.
and immune function.
So muscle isn't just about being physically strong. It's a big part of metabolic health and avoiding disease.
Absolutely. These metabolic functions are just as important as the structural stuff we talked about.
Yeah,
We
right.
need to start thinking of muscle as a vital organ. It has huge impacts on our overall health.
That's a good point. Okay, let's talk about a condition that seems to be on the rise, especially as we age. Sarcopenic obesity.
Sarcopenic obesity. It's when you have too much fat and too little muscle, and often reduced function.
Okay.
It's a complicated condition. There's no real universal definition for it or any criteria for diagnosing it.
Oh, so that makes it hard to like study and manage then.
And our sources pointed out that muscle quality matters just as much as the quantity.
Right.
They mentioned something called myosteatosis.
Osteatosis, okay.
It's when fat gets inside the muscle tissue. It weakens the muscle and makes it less efficient,
Oh, wow.
even if the overall muscle mass seems
So, like, two people could have the same amount of muscle, but the one with more fat infiltration, that's going to have worse muscle quality and probably worse health outcomes, too.
And this is especially concerning for older adults because they're already prone to age-related muscle decline.
Right.
So age-related decline plus more fat mass,
Yeah.
it's a recipe for sarcopenic obesity, which then increases the risk of falls, fractures, frailty. all those metabolic problems.
Yeah.
And it just really reduces your quality of life.
Wow. And one of our sources talked about this surprising risk factor for sarcopenic obesity.
Weight cycling.
Weight cycling, which is like losing and regaining weight over and over.
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But that can actually speed up muscle loss and make you regain more fat.
Really?
Leading to a worse body composition than you started with.
So how does that happen?
Well, weight cycling can mess with your body's protein synthesis. It messes with the balance of protein breakdown.
Okay.
And that favors storing fat instead of building muscle.
Oh, wow.
So even if you're just losing weight for a short time, you need to think about the long-term effects on your muscles. Crash diets and yo-yo dieting might get fast results, but they could make things worse later on.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what's the key takeaway here?
It's that sustainable weight management.
Okay.
It has to prioritize muscle preservation along with weight loss. That means strength training, enough protein, gradual and healthy weight loss instead of those quick fixes.
It's clear that low muscle mass is a big problem, not just for older people, but also for those losing weight or dealing with chronic conditions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what low muscle mass means in different healthcare settings.
Okay.
Low muscle mass is a strong predictor of bad outcomes.
Yeah.
Across all sorts of healthcare settings, in hospitals, outpatient clinics, long-term care.
Yeah, it's linked to more complications, longer stays, slower recovery, even higher death rates.
So for people who already have health issues, it's like this hidden vulnerability.
Yeah, and again, it's not just the amount of muscle, it's the quality.
Right.
That fat infiltration, that myosteatosis, it plays a big role in what happens.
So someone might look like they have enough muscle.
Right.
But if it's all infiltrated with fat and not working right.
Exactly.
It doesn't show their true health or how likely they are to have problems.
This just highlights the need for better assessments. Mm. You know, we need to go beyond measuring mass. We need a better picture of muscle health.
Yeah.
Especially for older folks and those with chronic diseases. They might have weakness we can't see right away.
That's a good point. Okay, let's shift gears a little and talk about preserving strength.
Yeah.
Especially after bariatric surgery.
Okay.
One of our sources, it's a meta-analysis in obesity surgery. It looked at muscle strength after bariatric procedures.
Yeah.
And what they found was that despite losing a lot of muscle after surgery, muscle strength, especially grip strength, was often maintained.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is. So even with less muscle, they stay strong. Why is that?
Well, it challenges how we used to think about muscle mass. Like it was the only thing that mattered for sarcopenia or frailty.
Right.
This suggests that function, like how strong you are,
right,
that can be preserved even when you have less muscle.
Interesting.
And this matters for how we assess and manage muscle health, especially with weight loss.
So it's not just how much muscle you've got, it's how well it works.
Exactly. And this finding really tells us that we need to focus on keeping and improving strength during and after weight loss. It also raises some questions about how this even happens. What's going on in the cells that let strength stay the same even when muscle is lost? More research needed there.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of changing how we think about things, our sources also point out that how we define and diagnose sarcopenia is changing too.
It is. New guidelines are moving away from just muscle mass.
Okay.
And putting more emphasis on muscle strength.
Okay.
As a marker for sarcopenia.
I see.
Because we're starting to understand that how well muscle works is more important for health outcomes than just the amount of it.
Makes sense. But so instead of just measuring how much muscle, we're looking at how strong it is.
Right.
Is a better sign of their overall health.
Right. And a simple measure like grip strength has been shown to be a really good predictor of bad health outcomes like disability, hospitalization, even death.
Wow. It's amazing how much you can learn from a simple test.
It is.
It shows that we need to look beyond just weight and BMI. We need to start using more functional measures of health.
I agree. It's not just about how much you weigh or your BMI. It's about how well your body works. And muscle strength is a big part of that.
Well said. Okay, let's wrap up this part of our deep dive by talking about muscle mass, strength, and those comorbidities.
Okay.
So we know more muscle usually means more strength.
Generally.
But our sources say it's not always that simple, especially when you add in chronic diseases.
Right. Things like obesity, diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, they can really impact both muscle mass and strength in ways we don't always expect. For example, someone with obesity, they might have more muscle mass overall,
okay,
but they could be weaker because of fat getting into the muscle.
So again, it's about muscle quality.
Exactly. More muscle doesn't always mean more strength if that muscle is full of fat and not working as it should.
Right. And each comorbidity seems to have its own challenges when it comes to muscle mass and strength.
Absolutely. And this shows how important it is to manage these conditions, not just for the disease itself, but for protecting muscle health and function too.
We'll be back after a short break to continue exploring these fascinating connections between muscle health, chronic diseases, and overall well-being.
So before the break, we were talking about how chronic diseases can mess with that link between muscle mass and strength.
Right.
It's something we need to think about because it shows that we have to look past simple measurements and consider how healthy and functional that muscle tissue really is.
It's a good reminder that muscle quality is super important. Someone with a chronic illness might seem like they have enough muscle, but it's not actually working as well as it should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this brings us back to that interesting finding about strength after bariatric surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people lose a lot of muscle after these procedures, studies show that muscle strength, especially grip strength, often stays the same.
It is surprising that even with less muscle, people can keep a good amount of strength.
It is.
It seems to go against that old idea that muscle mass is the main indicator of muscle health and how well it works.
It does. This finding suggests that muscle function, how strong you are, can be preserved even with less mass. And it highlights the need to shift our focus from just measuring how much muscle someone has to checking how well it actually works.
So it's not just quantity, it's quality and how well it functions.
Exactly.
And like you said earlier, new clinical guidelines for sarcopenia are showing this shift.
They are.
By prioritizing muscle strength over muscle mass.
Yeah, there's a growing understanding that muscle quality and function are more important for predicting health outcomes than just muscle mass.
Okay.
And this shift is especially important for older people and those with chronic diseases. They might seem to have enough muscle mass.
Right.
But their strength might be declining because of things like fat in the muscle and changes in the muscle fibers.
So it sounds like a simple strength test could be really helpful.
Yeah.
To find people who might be at risk for sarcopenia or other problems related to muscle function, even if their muscle mass looks okay.
Exactly. And a simple measure like hand grip strength. It's really accurate at predicting things like disability, hospitalization, even death.
Wow. It's crazy how much information we can get from a simple test.
Yeah.
It just shows that we need to look beyond simple things like weight and BMI and start including these more functional measures of health in our regular checkups.
Totally agree. It's not just about weight or BMI. It's about how well your body works. And muscle strength is a big part of that.
Well said. Okay. To wrap up this deep dive into muscle health, what are the most important things you want our listeners to remember?
Well, the most important thing is that muscle is so much more than just strength or how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's complex. It changes all the time. And it plays a vital role in our overall health and well-being. It affects everything from how our metabolism works and how our body uses sugar to our bone health, immune system, and even our risk for diseases.
And we can't just focus on how much muscle we have.
Right.
We also have to think about its quality and how well it functions.
Exactly. Things like fat inside the muscle, that myosteatosis, can really affect how well the muscle works no matter how big it is.
Okay.
And this means we need to change how we do research and how doctors treat patients.
Mm-hmm.
We need better ways to measure muscle quality and function.
Okay.
And we need to focus on treatments that go beyond just building bigger muscles and focus on improving the overall health of the muscle.
It's clear that keeping our muscles healthy isn't just about preventing sarcopenia or frailty in older people.
It's not.
It's important throughout our lives and affects a wide range of health conditions.
Absolutely. It's something we need to consider for our overall health, and it deserves much more attention than it gets.
Well said. This deep dive has really highlighted how crucial muscle health is. What areas do you think need more research?
Yeah, there are a few areas, I think. One is the long-term impact of that rapid weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we use meds like the GLP-1 agonists, we know these drugs work great for losing weight. But that big muscle loss that can happen, it makes us wonder about the long-term consequences.
We did touch on this earlier.
Mm.
But can you talk about some specific research questions? Like, what do we need to know?
Well, we need to understand what happens to body composition over time. Like, if someone loses a lot of muscle really fast,
okay,
are they going to be more likely to gain the weight back as fat and end up with a worse body composition later?
Right.
We also need to look at how this muscle loss affects metabolic health.
Okay.
Like, does it increase their risk for sarcopenic obesity years down the road?
It seems like we just don't know enough about what these meds do to our muscles in the long run.
We don't.
You also mentioned that the link between muscle health and chronic diseases needs more attention.
Yes. We know that things like obesity, diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, they can all affect muscle negatively.
Right.
But we need to look at it the other way around, too.
Okay.
Could improving muscle health actually help people manage these chronic conditions better? Could it lead to better overall outcomes?
So, are there any promising areas of research in this area?
Well, there's more and more evidence showing that resistance training,
Okay.
it can make people with type 2 diabetes more sensitive to insulin, even if they don't lose much weight. This suggests that building muscle, maintaining it could have a direct benefit on metabolic health.
So instead of just focusing on weight loss for managing diabetes,
Right.
we should also be telling people to build and preserve muscle.
Absolutely. Muscle is much more important for how our metabolism works than we used to think.
And what about those myokines, those signaling molecules that muscles release? Could those be used to develop new treatments for chronic diseases?
Myokines affect a lot of different organs, the brain, the liver, fat tissue. Research is still early, but there's a lot of interest in seeing if we can use myokines to create new treatments for metabolic disorders, cardiovascular disease, even neurodegenerative diseases.
It's amazing to think that our muscles are talking to other organs and influencing how they work.
It is.
This just shows that we need to stop thinking of muscle as just something structural and start seeing it as a complex organ that affects our entire body.
Exactly. And to really understand these effects, we need better tools to assess muscle quality. Imaging techniques like MRI and CT scans, they can give us detailed information, but they're expensive and not always practical for everyday use. We need ways to assess muscle quality that are easier to use, more affordable, and don't involve anything invasive.
If we could easily and reliably assess muscle quality, that would be huge.
It would.
We could find people who are at risk for muscle problems much sooner
Yeah.
and do something to prevent or delay serious health issues.
Exactly. And the interventions themselves need to change too. We can't just give general exercise advice. We need personalized approaches, ones that consider a person's age, their health, any other conditions they have, and their specific needs. This is where personalized healthcare really comes in.
A really interesting vision for the future of muscle health management.
It is.
As we learn more and understand the connections between muscle metabolism and disease, these personalized interventions could become even more targeted and effective.
Absolutely. It's a very exciting time to be working in this field. I think we'll see big advancements in the next few years.
Well, this has been a really insightful deep dive into muscle health.
It has.
I think the most important message for our listeners is this: muscle isn't just about strength or how good you look.
Right.
It's a vital organ. It plays a huge role in our overall health and well-being. We need to pay attention to it and take care of it.
Couldn't agree more. We need to start thinking about muscle health as part of a healthy lifestyle, just like eating right and being physically active.
Well said. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. It's clear that there's so much more to learn about this fascinating field.
It's been my pleasure.
And to our listener, we encourage you to keep learning about muscle health and
Yeah.
how to optimize your own. Until next time, keep diving deep and stay curious.